have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I hope each and every person in here, or at least one per family, got a packet. If you did not get a packet, raise your hand, and we'll still be glad to give you one. There are some folks back there. We've got some folks over here. Anybody else that didn't get a packet? Inside that packet, you'll find all kinds of materials, Bible reading schedules, missionary prayer lists. Most importantly, I think a calendar that has all of our dates and events on it as the year goes by with some beautiful pictures, memory verses, and things like that. So I hope each and every family gets a calendar. That way you can know what's going on here at Worth Baptist Church in 2017 as we move forward. I read recently about the mission statement of a well-known university. The mission statement read, "To be plainly instructed and consider well that the main end of your life and studies is to know God in Jesus Christ." That's quite a mission statement for a school, isn't it? That mission statement isn't from Bob Jones or Pensacola Christian College or Crown College or any of the Bible colleges we might know about. That was the mission statement in 1636 at the founding of Harvard University. Harvard University began as a school to train preachers to start churches and give out the gospel. But now you will not find a more godless place in our entire nation than Harvard University. In the 1800s, inner city London was one big slum. Hundreds of young men had come to London looking for work. When they were unable to find it, many of them turned to crime and developed a wicked lifestyle. In 1844, a young man by the name of George Williams started holding Bible studies for these displaced young men. He wanted to give them the gospel and see their lives changed. Soon he discovered that he would need to give these men shelter. So he started an organization that would give shelter and Bible study to displaced men in London. Williams said, "Our object is the improvement of the spiritual condition of the young men engaged in houses of business by the formation of Bible classes, family and social prayer meetings, mutual improvement societies, or any other spiritual agency." Williams called his organization the YMCA. And during the 1800s and early 1900s, thousands of young men and women heard the gospel of Jesus Christ through the YMCA. D.L. Moody was very involved in the YMCA. But if you've ever worked out at the Y in recent years, you know that they have drifted from their mission. In fact, in 2010, they changed their name to the Y, took Christian altogether out of it. They scrubbed their website of the name of Christ and any information about their gospel-centered founding or their history. I would submit to you that the Y forgot their Y, W-H-Y. In his book, Mission Drift, author Peter Greer said, "Without careful attention, faith-based organizations will drift from their founding mission. It will happen." You know, that's not only true of organizations like Harvard and the Y, it's true of local churches as well. If we had the time today, I could tell you the stories of great churches over the last 100 years where thousands of souls were saved every year. Churches that led the way in our independent Baptist movement, and now, just a handful of years later, their doors are either totally closed or they are a shell of what they used to be. If it can happen to Harvard and it can happen to the Y, it can happen at Worth Baptist Church. What happened to these places? What's happening in churches all over America as 100 churches per week are closing their doors? I would submit to you that somewhere along the line, someone forgot or ignored why those churches and why those organizations were founded in the first place. Some generation of people came along and didn't keep the main thing the main thing. You know, no church member, no organization thinks this is the year we shut our doors. This is the year we are not true to our mission. No, drift happens slowly. And I'm convinced it happens in churches when we focus on the 1,000 good things we could be doing to the exclusion of the one thing we've been commanded to do. What is the why of Worth Baptist Church? Well, it's given to us in Matthew chapter 28. Verses 18 through 20. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our why. The Great Commission, to make disciples, to glorify God by making disciples in Fort Worth, the Metroplex, and around the world. And every time we meet this year, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night in a church service, we are going to close our service by reciting the Great Commission. Because the Great Commission is the why of Worth Baptist Church. I want to say to you tonight, by God's grace, Worth Baptist Church is not going to drift. We are not going to wander. We are not going to descend into the bottomless pit of man-made methodology and personal agendas and missions. We're going to pick up our Bibles this year and recommit ourselves to God's mission and God's agenda in this world. The Church of Jesus Christ has not been called to manage coffee shops, start Christian motorcycle gangs, run sports leagues, or revitalize skylines. We've been called to glorify God by making disciples of all nations. And with all the good things churches could do, we're going to stick with the one thing Christ has commanded us to do. We're going to make disciples this year. I believe that everything we do ought to revolve around that mission of making disciples. And so we need to ask ourselves as a church and as a people this year, how can we most effectively make disciples in 2017? That's what it's all about. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Certainly our biblical vision is to make disciples, but what's our plan? Someone said a vision without a plan is just a dream. And I believe that. What's our plan for making disciples in 2017? I would submit to you that that's the wrong question. I think the right question is, what is God's plan for making disciples? Did you know this, ladies and gentlemen? The greatest disciple maker who ever lived was the Lord Jesus Christ. In only 3 years, he took a ragtag group of fishermen, some tax collectors, even a zealot, and transformed them into men that would turn the world upside down. And right at the very outset of their ministry, right at the beginning, Jesus let them in on the plan that would change the world. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 was Jesus' plan, and it should be our plan too. Look there, Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, that's a verse you probably learned when you were a child in Sunday school, but that verse turned the world upside down. Jesus said three things in this verse. First of all, he said, follow me. You know what he was doing there? He was reaching. This is Jesus reaching out to people that were not his followers and inviting them into a personal relationship with him. He saw some men and he said, follow me. He reached them. Not only did he say, follow me, he said, follow me and I will make you. In other words, if you follow me, I'm going to turn you into something you have never been before. First of all, he reached them. Secondly, he grew them. He grew them. His intention from the very beginning, and he articulated it to his disciples, was to totally transform their lives. He was not going to bring them to some kind of salvation decision and abandon them. He was going to pour his life into them so they could grow. And Jesus said, I'm going to reach you. I'm going to grow you. Then he said, I will make you what? Fishers of men. He said, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you into the world so you can fish for men. And I believe everything in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ revolved around glorifying God by reaching the lost, growing new believers, and sending disciple makers into this world to do for others what had been done for them. So let's ask this question. This year, how can we most effectively make disciples? By reaching, by growing, by sending. So number one, we will make disciples by reaching. How do we need to reach? Well, I would submit to you, first of all, we need to reach personally. Listen to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want to challenge you this year to be involved in reaching people personally for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I put tracts in your packet tonight, because I wanted everybody to leave here with the challenge that they were going to take these tracts and hand them out to somebody and reach some lost soul for Jesus Christ. I want you to know that every week our church sends an army out into this world, and you are that army. I want to challenge you to look everywhere for witnessing and disciple-making opportunities. Witness to your neighbors, witness to your friends, witness to your co-workers, witness to your family. There are people all around you that need the Lord, and God has called us personally to give out the gospel. Nobody in this room is exempt from the Great Commission. We live in a day when Christians all around us are expressing frustration and concern about the drifting of our culture. Get on social media and it won't take too long to see some Christian person griping about something. You know, churches aren't the only institutions that drift. Cultures do too. You know what I found? Often the people that fill up social media with complaints and commentary about the ills of our culture will go all year without showing up for outreach, giving out a gospel tract, or bringing one person that they led to Christ down the aisle. I want you to know, folks, it is absolute hypocrisy to go around complaining about the behavior of lost people and cursing the darkness and to never do one thing to spread the light. We have not been called to curse the darkness. We have been called as the church of Jesus Christ to spread the light. And I want to challenge you to get out of this church this year and get the gospel to some lost person. We need to reach personally. Not only do we need to reach personally, we need to reach personally as a church. I'm excited about one particular day that I want you to notice on your calendar or write down, and that's Gospel Day. That's February the 26th. Our goal that day is to enlist 100 members for our spring outreach team. And I want you to be one of those 100 people. You say, Pastor Gillett, I don't want to wait until February 26th to get involved in outreach. I want to do it today. Then you show up this Saturday at 10 o'clock. We'll put you with a partner, and we'll go out and knock some doors and talk to some folks about Jesus Christ. Last year, we had over 200 people involved in outreach of some kind. Isn't that incredible? And I don't think it's any accident that the Lord added 200 people about to our church last year. 200 people going out, 200 people going in. That sounds about right to me. We cannot expect God to bless us as a people if we are not getting out into the highways and hedges and compelling people to come in. Somebody got you the gospel. Now it's your turn. We need to reach personally. Not only do we need to reach personally, we need to reach locally. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that we have been called by Jesus Christ and commanded to reach our Jerusalem for Jesus Christ. Is everybody in South Fort Worth saved yet? Everybody in the Metroplex heard a clear presentation of the gospel? I don't think so. There's still a lot of work for us to do. This year, we're going to reach locally through weekly outreach. One of the most important outreaches we do here at Worth Baptist Church is our Saturday morning house to house. Acts chapter 20 verse 20 says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." You say, is it biblical to go house to house talking to people about Jesus Christ? It absolutely is. I'm excited about getting into our neighborhoods here in South Fort Worth and personally inviting to people to church and giving them the gospel this year. You say, Pastor Gillett, does that still work? I believe God always blesses when people do God's work God's way. I'm thinking of two families in our church that have been saved, baptized, and are walking through discipleship. They are here every single week because some of our folks went out on a Saturday morning and knocked on doors and told them about Jesus Christ. There are two families in our church that were on their way to hell. They're on their way to heaven today. They're in church every Sunday serving the Lord because somebody cared enough to show up on a Saturday morning, knock on a door, and get out the gospel. And this year we're going to reach locally, Saturday morning, house to house. One ministry that I'm really excited about now reaches our Ladera Palms Refugee Ministry. We were praying last year that God would help us get started out there, and it has been a great blessing. Less than half a mile down the road is a massive apartment complex. And Tarrant County houses hundreds of refugees that are coming from the most unreached places on the face of the earth, right here to Fort Worth, Texas. Places like North Africa, East Asia, India, and places all over the world. Last year, it was one of our goals to start weekly ministry at the Ladera Palms. And we have a great team that teaches children and hands out food and goals so winning every single week. God has brought the nations to Campus Drive, and I think we have an obligation and responsibility to go after their souls. It's one thing to complain about the refugee problem. It is another thing entirely for us to get out and tell these precious people that Jesus loved them and that He died for them. Another ministry I'm really excited about is the Good News Clubs ministry. This is really growing and expanding. Last year we had clubs at 5 different elementary schools in our area. Hundreds of public school children attended, and scores put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Again, it's easy to get frustrated with some of the things that happen in public education from time to time, but if we want to be part of the solution and not just complain about the problems, we need to be on those campuses, engaging those children with the gospel. We're praying for the greatest year on our elementary school campuses that we have ever had. And if you've ever taught a Sunday school class or even been nice to a child, you could be part of Good News Club. Listen, this is an older ministry in our church, but it's a ministry that brings forth a lot of fruit. And I'm talking about the bus ministry. Last year, our bus ministry was up over 20% in attendance. We've got a couple routes that are really knocking the doors out, and I think we are on the verge of seeing our weekly attendance rise above 100 riders. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? It would be. I want you to pray for the bus ministry. Encourage one of our bus workers. While you were riding to church in a heated automobile this morning, they were out there on a bus in the cold telling children about Jesus Christ. It would be well in order for you to put your arm around them and say thank you for what you're doing and encourage them in the work of the God. Don't just pray for them. Don't just encourage them. Get involved. If you don't have a ministry, why don't you join up with the bus ministry today? I rode a bus just about all of my high school and college years, and there is no ministry in the local church more rewarding than the bus ministry. You ought to get involved. Not only did we see great success in the bus ministry, we saw great success in the Hispanic ministry last year. Praise the Lord for our Hispanic department. Our Hispanic ministry has experienced explosive growth over the last 3 years. Last year was a tough year for everyone involved in that ministry, but it was a fruitful year. I hope you'll continue to pray for Brother Oscar Gonzalez. Stand behind him and support him. I hope you'll be friendly and make these folks feel at home right here at Worth Baptist Church. He's going to continue leading that ministry, Brother Oscar is, and we're excited about what's going to happen with his ministry in the days ahead. This is a man that works hard and loves souls and loves his people, and there are some great days in the future reaching Spanish-speaking people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last year, we started ministries at nursing homes and on college campuses. We took lunches and gifts to teachers and first responders. Our members were active at community fairs like fall festivals. We saw God do some incredible things with our RU ministry last year, reaching the addicted, and with our food pantry, reaching those in urgent physical need. I want to tell you, folks, God has placed Worth Baptist Church in an incredible mission field on Campus Drive. And if we're going to make disciples anywhere, it needs to start right where we are. God's put us in this city for the good of this city, and we need to reach it for Jesus Christ. So we're going to reach through local outreach. Another way that we're going to reach is through our special events. We have 6 exciting days coming up, and I hope you won't miss any of them. The idea behind all 6 of these days is that people would come to faith in Jesus Christ. One of the new days that we've never had that I'm excited about, we're calling O.D. Wyatt Day. O.D. Wyatt Day. Many of you know right down the road is a large public high school. And on Sunday, February the 12th, we're going to bring in as many of those students and teachers and administration of folks as will come. We've started building some special relationships with the principal at that school and the students. Just about a month ago, the principal came to us, knocked on our door, and asked to meet with the pastor of the church that had done so much for his high school. Isn't that incredible? So on Sunday, February the 12th, we're going to give them a beautiful meal. We're going to give them a gift, recognize them during the service. And most of all, we're going to preach the gospel to them. And we're praying that a great number of young people and teachers from O.D. Wyatt will come to Christ and that God will continue to open that great door. Another day I'm excited about is First Responders Day. We're going to hold that on Sunday, March the 26th. In the past, we've had First Responders Day every 4 years or so. but we'd like to start hosting it right here every single year. We're going to honor our first responders in the service, give them a delicious meal, and let them know that Worth Baptist Church is behind them 100%. So if you know a police officer or a first responder, a fireman, invite them to be with us on Sunday, March the 26th. You know, another day that is absolutely huge in our year is Easter Sunday. And we're looking forward to a powerful day of music and preaching. We're looking forward to the Centurion drama that will be going forward. And we're excited about doing it on an evening when we can make a maximum gospel impact. So you start praying right now and inviting even for Easter Sunday. On Monday, June the 3rd, is the I Love America rally with evangelist Tim Lee. You know, folks, we still love America. We still believe God can bring revival. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. And no matter who is in the White House, the answer for America is revival. Amen. So we want you to join us for an evening of prayer and powerful Bible preaching. Of course, Tim Lee will be back. We'll have music from the Mark Trammell Quartet. It's our first time to ever host this group. That quartet is one of the most well-known gospel quartets. And we'll have some special surprises as well as we get closer. So make your plans now. Don't go on vacation until after the 3rd. That is going to be a historic night here at Worth Baptist Church. We're going to pack this place out, and we're going to ask God to save souls that night. One day I'm really excited about is the Foreign Food Festival on September the 9th. And not just for the gospel outreach either. I love the food. Many of you were here a couple of years ago when we had this food festival as part of our mission conference. That night, we'll eat some delicious international food. We'll watch an inspiring missions drama, and we will hear a gospel message. Weren't you amazed to see what God did that night over 2 years ago? We're excited to bring it back, so some of you better start planning now if you want to keep those trophies you won 2 years ago, and we're praying for that day. Another day that I am really excited about is Sunday, October the 8th. That is Open House Sunday. What a wonderful Open House Sunday we had last year. We had over 750 people on our campus that day. And we thought if it worked that well, we might as well do it again. So we'll bring the big tent back. We'll invite our friends, have a delicious meal. We'll ask our community partners to join us. And we're going to ask God to do something great again on Open House Sunday. Why go to all of the expense of having these big days? Why work so hard to make it happen? Brother Earl sang about it. It's the value of one. Every time we hold a special event, every time we go out on Saturday and one person gets saved, it's worth it all. Last year, we had many more than one person come to Christ at Worth Baptist Church. Last year, we had 199 reported salvations. And man, I really wanted to fudge it and make it 200, I want to tell you. The Lord allowed us to see 73 people follow Christ in believers' baptism. Can you believe that? We looked at our records in the office going as far back as we could. We only have 30 years of records in the office that the secretaries have access to. We don't have any records further back than that. We had the second highest total of baptisms last year in the last 30 years of our church. Isn't that wonderful? And I'm telling you, we can get satisfied and complacent and stagnant if we want to, or we can decide that the gospel is too good and salvation too sweet and our God too glorious for us to keep this good news to ourselves this year. In 2017, we're going to work harder than ever to get the gospel to our city. We're going to reach. We're going to reach personally. We're going to reach locally. We're going to reach globally. Ladies and gentlemen, we make disciples for God's global glory. I don't know about you. I'm glad to be part of a church that supports 167 missionaries and their families. Last year, Worth Baptist Church gave over $450,000 to missions. We took on several new missionaries and helped with a lot of special projects. And sometimes you don't know all that we're doing for missions across the world, but Worth is making an impact on the nations through our missions program. And ladies and gentlemen, while we're doing a lot, there's a lot more to do. Did you know that? Every day, worthy missionaries call our church and talk to our secretaries, and we have to tell them we don't have room to add another missionary or to have another meeting. I'm looking forward to the day when we can support over 200 missionaries. I believe that in the next 5 years, Worth Baptist Church will give $1 million to missions every year. It may not be next year, it may not be the year after that, but by 5 years, Worth Baptist Church, by God's grace, for His glory, will give $1 million a year for world missions. And I want you to be a part of that. One of the things that helps us with reaching globally is our Faith Promise Missions Conference in September. You know, there's an old saying that says, if it's not broken, don't fix it. We have a wonderful missions conference, and we're looking forward to continuing that. Our special speaker this year will be Dr. Willie Weaver, and I'm excited about that. He's going to preach the conference, and we're going to expect great things from God, and we're going to attempt great things for God in our Faith Promise Missions Conference. You know, one of the important ways that Worth Baptist Church is reaching the world that we don't always think about is through our media ministry. I'm so grateful that over the years, many men and women have invested their time and money so we could stream our services over the internet. I'm so grateful for the men and women that work tirelessly on our media team. We're in the process even right now of refreshing our website and making it more mobile friendly and making it a little bit more attractive. I was invited to spend some time with about 20 men recently that pastor some of the largest independent Baptist churches in the nation. These guys preach for the Sword of the Lord conference. They're in that magazine and at all the big conferences in America. One of those men said, and he had a large church, one of those men said, media ministry and social media ministry is to 2016 what door knocking and bus ministry were to 1970. He wasn't saying that we should stop knocking on doors. He wasn't saying we should stop running buses, but he was saying the effectiveness of bus ministry and door knocking in the 1970s is the effectiveness that we could have if we were more involved in social media and online. We've got a lot of ground to take reaching people online, and we look forward to a new website and some new tools to help us reach people all over the world in 2017. Some great things happened in media ministry in 2016. Brother Russell sent me a great spreadsheet just the other day. He said our sermon videos were accessed over 7,000 times last year through live streaming or on-demand video. Over 10,000 audio messages were downloaded from worthbc.org. Every message that comes from this pulpit you can find online at worthbc.org. You can sign up for a podcast, get it on your smartphone, and take the messages of Worth Baptist Church with you. One of the ways our ministry is reaching around the world is through our media ministry, and we're glad for that. Ladies and gentlemen, we have got to devote more time, more money, and more effort than we ever have to reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm convinced that a church that isn't making disciples is not a church at all. It's just a bunch of disobedient Christians who are hanging out every Sunday. And making disciples begins with getting the good news outside of these four walls and reaching people with the truth that will change their lives. So this year, we are going to go. Personally, locally, globally, in a way that we have never gone before. That's where disciple making starts. It starts with reaching. But listen to me tonight. The Great Commission does not end with evangelism. Unfortunately, in a lot of independent Baptist churches, the Great Commission has traditionally ended in evangelism. That's not where it ends. That's where it begins. We've been commissioned not only to reach people with the gospel, we've been commissioned by Christ to grow people. He said, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The process is not completed until we've taught them what He's taught us. So this year, we will make disciples not only by reaching, we will make disciples by growing. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Here's what you're going to find in Acts chapter 2. After Peter preached his first Spirit-filled sermon, 3,000 people were saved. Can you imagine that? Now, I think they said amen and hallelujah and glory to God that day, but I think it wasn't long before Peter looked around and said, what am I going to do with all these baby Christians? Peter didn't abandon them after they made a salvation decision. He and the other disciples made an effort to develop them and grow them into lifelong followers of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that the people we reach in 2017 will need to grow in their new faith. They'll need to be grounded in the truths of God's word. They will need to be taught what the Bible says about being a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter. They'll need to learn how to pray. They'll need to learn how to share their faith. And the making of a disciple is the central purpose of the local church. And it is the reason God put you in this faith family. So let's ask ourselves this question as a church. What is our plan for growing new believers into mature followers of Jesus Christ. What's our plan? Do you know the plan? Could you articulate the plan? If you led someone to faith in Christ and brought them to church on a Sunday morning at Worth Baptist Church, would you know that there's a plan in place to get that person baptized, to get him or her matured in their faith, growing in their faith, and ready to become a lifelong follower of Jesus Christ? I think Peter had a pretty good plan in Acts chapter 2. It worked for that group of new believers, and I think it's going to work for us here at Worth Baptist Church just fine. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly. They didn't stop doing these things, they continued. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Peter took this group of 3,000 new believers and turned them into a group that went everywhere with the gospel by focusing on four things. And this is our plan for growing new believers into mature followers of Jesus Christ. You know what they noticed? First of all, it said they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Would you write this down? They continued in biblical preaching. I want you to know tonight that the primary priority of the local church is teaching and preaching God's word. That's how people grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Everything we do here at Worth Baptist Church revolves around the bold proclamation of the word of God. God is not promised and God is not bound to bless our programs or our personalities. He is promised, he has promised that he will bless his word. Now would you listen carefully? There are many in our day that believe the best way to make disciples is to give people fewer and fewer opportunities to hear God's word. Cut a service here and cut a service there. I don't believe that at all. I believe that's counterproductive to disciple making. We've been commanded to hear God's word so much the more as we see the day approaching, not so much the less. So this year, I'm excited about preaching God's word every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night right here from the pulpit at Worth Baptist Church. Let me ask you a question. Anybody in here arrived in the Christian life? Anybody there yet? Or does anybody in here still need to grow? I do. Then I want to ask you to make a commitment that unless you're providentially hindered, you're going to be present for the preaching of God's word on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I want you to know whether it's the children in Sunday school or master clubs or the teen in the youth ministry or Friday nights at RU, every time we gather together, you will be exposed to biblical preaching. That's what makes people grow. This year, I'm particularly excited about the over 100 messages that I'll bring from the pulpit this year. For the next few Sunday mornings, we'll be going deeper on the subject of making disciples, reaching, growing, and sending. On Sunday, February the 12th, we'll begin a new series that I'm thrilled about on the life of Abraham from Genesis chapter 12 through 24. I've entitled it A Worldwide Blessing. I believe that God has given us in Abraham a picture for how he wants all of us to be in this world. So I'm really looking forward to that Sunday morning service. You know, I'm excited about Sunday evenings this year. I love preaching God's word on Sunday night. This is the best crowd we have for preaching all week long. Next week, I'm going to bring a very important message entitled Making Disciples at Home from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Did you know the most important place anybody makes disciples is at home? And I want to challenge spouses to make a disciple of your spouse. Parents and grandparents, make disciples of your children and your grandchildren. That's the hope for the church and that's the hope for America. So I'm looking forward to preaching on making disciples at home. Then at the beginning of February, I'll start a new chapter-by-chapter study on the book of Acts. We'll see how the early church overcame obstacles and opposition from within and without to carry the Great Commission and to change the world. On Wednesday nights, and I love preaching on Wednesday nights, I'm going to continue preaching verse by verse through the book of Judges. Then in the middle of February, we'll move on to the book of Ruth and we'll study the romance of redemption. And I'm excited about that as well. Spurgeon said, nobody ever outgrows Scripture. The book widens and deepens with our years. So this year, I'm looking forward to seeing what God will do as we hear and respond to God's word. People grow through biblical preaching, and that will always be the hallmark of Worth Baptist Church. But not only did they continue in the apostles' doctrine, they continued in fellowship. Would you write it down? They continued in caring relationships. Fellowship is a relationship between individuals through participation in a common mission. One thing you're going to find from studying the Bible is that disciples cannot be mass-produced. They are made one relationship at a time. And when I look back on my life, I realize it wasn't solely the messages that I heard from God's Word that had an impact on me. It was the people that took an interest in my life. And people like my mom and dad. Of course, people like my wife. People like Dr. Rigsby and Dr. Weaver and Dr. Barber, who down through the years have done everything they can to put God's word into me and to encourage me. And I'm convinced that every member at Worth Baptist Church needs a mentor. Every member at Worth Baptist Church needs someone that will care about them and help them to develop into a mature follower of Jesus Christ. Every mentor needs a disciple. Not only a mentor, every member needs a disciple, someone that you're bringing along. One of the ways this year that we're going to encourage caring relationships is through the formation of care groups. I hope many of you adults enjoyed your Sunday school class today. I'm sure it was new for many of you. We're dividing our entire membership from junior high up into smaller groups through the Sunday school. Every care group has a leader that is committed to helping you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And as new believers come into our church, they will be placed in Sunday school classes and care groups that will encourage them to take the next step spiritually. Right now, almost every adult in our church is walking through the Continue curriculum. And after those 14 weeks are over, we're going to start Wednesday night discipleship classes. And we're going to ask care groups and care group leaders to adopt new Christians and mentor them and teach them what you've been taught over the last 14 weeks. You know what I've learned, folks? You don't learn how to pray by going to a class on prayer. You learn to pray by praying with people that know how to get a hold of God. You don't learn how to witness by going to a soul-winning seminar. You learn how to witness going out, knocking on doors. Soul-winning is better caught than taught. It's one thing to hear a message on tithing. It's another thing to sit down at lunch and hear a mature Christian explain all the ways that God has blessed his life because he chose to honor God with his tithe. Every member in Worth Baptist Church needs a mentor. And we're going to introduce every new Christian into a caring relationship that will help them grow into lifelong followers of Jesus Christ. They continued in biblical preaching. They continued in care relationships. They continued, it says here, in the breaking of bread. Most scholars believe that's referring to the Lord's Supper. Did you know the early church observed the Lord's Supper just about every time they got together for worship? So I've said it this way, they continued in wholehearted worship. I would have loved to have been there for one of the worship services of the first century church, wouldn't you? I believe that one of the things that really characterized that group of people and propelled the early church is that when they got together and prayed and sang and gave and preached, they did it with all of their hearts. When we come together for corporate worship, we are stirring our affections for God. We are stirring the affections of our brothers and sisters for God. And I don't know about you, I want Worth Baptist Church to be known for spirit-filled, theologically sound, life-changing worship every single Sunday. So I want to challenge you this year, participate in the worship services and do it with all your heart. When it's time to sing, grab your hymn book and sing to the Lord and not for men. When it's time to give, participate in the offering. When someone's praying from the pulpit, you covenant together with your heart and enter into a time of prayer. And when the word of God is being preached, you listen attentively and you respond authentically. And if we will do that, we will experience spirit-filled worship here at Worth Baptist Church. Listen, if you can sing, you need to join the choir. And when you get up there, let it rip and sing it out. If you can play an instrument, join the orchestra. Nothing stirs the affections of believers like the corporate church participating and using their gifts in powerful music, in powerful praying, in powerful preaching. We're not here just to get something in the heads of new converts. We're here to put something in their hearts. And wholehearted worship is what's going to do that job. They continued in worship. Lastly, they continued in prayers. You say, Pastor Gillette, that's almost nonsensical. I mean, it's almost worth not saying. Of course they prayed together. I think we all know that prayer should be emphasized in church. But I want to ask you something, church. Can we honestly say that prayer is one of our top four priorities as a church? The early church could. And the reason they emphasized prayer is that no program has the power to change a person's life. I've taken interest in a lot of disciples in my life that didn't pan out and didn't follow Jesus Christ. That's why we pray. We pray because we need Him to change the lives of people. J. Sidlow Baxter said, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. This year, we're going to start three evenings that are totally devoted to prayer. I'm calling them the Pray for the Nations prayer meetings. They'll take place on the Wednesday nights before some of our biggest events, and we're going to take the entire Wednesday evening service, and we're going to ask the entire church to pray together. We're going to spend much of that time crying out to God for unreached people groups in this world and for missionaries serving Christ in difficult places. And I promise you some great things are going to come as a result of our entire church praying together for a solid hour on Wednesday nights. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about our revival prayer meetings that we hold on the first Saturday of every month. That's not a long gathering, but it is a sweet and powerful time of prayer. And I can tell you, last year, that little group of prayers saw several direct answers to prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to make disciples, the fuel that's going to keep us going is prayer. And Samuel Chadwick said, there is no power like that of prevailing prayer, of Abraham pleading for Sodom, Jacob wrestling in the stillness of the night, Moses standing in the breach, Hannah intoxicated with sorrow, David heartbroken with remorse and grief, Jesus in sweat and blood. And to this list from the records of the church, your personal observation and experience, and always there is cost of passion unto blood, but such prayer prevails. It turns ordinary mortals into men of power. It brings power. It brings fire. It brings rain. It brings life. It brings God. D.L. Moody said that every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. So in 2017, let's pray like we've never prayed before at Worth Baptist Church. So how are we going to grow people? Through biblical preaching, caring relationships, wholehearted worship and fervent praying. That's our plan for making disciples. That's the plan the disciples used to turn the world upside down. And I think that plan's going to work fine right here, turning Fort Worth, Texas, upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So number one, we're going to make disciples by reaching people this year. Number two, we're going to make disciples by growing people this year. Number three, we're going to make disciples by sending people this year. John chapter 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Would you please listen carefully? We have not made a disciple just because we've reached someone. And we haven't made a disciple just because we've grown them into a faithful tithing member who comes every Sunday. We've only made a disciple when we've sent them back into their homes and back into their families, back into their workplaces, and yes, into the nations to fish for men and make disciples. That's what it means to make a disciple. So I want you to know that this year we are going to go to the nations like we have never gone before. We believe going to the nations is not just for a select few super Christians that we label as missionaries. We believe going to the nations is for every follower of Jesus Christ. So we have prayerfully chosen four locations this year, and you've got a brochure that lines out all of it. We're going back to the Philippines to take part in reaching thousands of children in a vacation Bible school. We're going back to Ghana to help Brother Steve Vellante. I've been on a lot of mission trips, but it sure is hard to beat that trip we took to Ghana. It was a wonderful trip. We're excited about our teenagers taking part in the MIT trip again. What a wonderful trip last year, and they're looking forward to going back to Southland and seeing what God is going to do in New York City. This year, we're excited about adding a location we've never gone to on a mission trip, and that's to South Texas to help missionary Danny Jones reach Spanish speakers with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. You don't have to get on an airplane to go on a mission trip. You could go just a few hours down the road down to the Mexican border where Danny Jones is doing a great work of God and be a part of ministry there for a week. So I want to ask you a question, and I want to challenge you tonight. Would you seriously and fervently pray about sacrificing a week or two of your vacation this year to cross cultures with the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is our goal to get scores of you on the mission field this year. And I believe with all of my heart as a pastor, and I've experienced it in my own life, that if you will invest 2% of your year, and that's all a week is, if you will invest 2% of your year in another country, it will radically change the way you live the other 98% right here in the United States of America and right here at Worth Baptist Church. So we're excited this year about short-term missions, and we are praying that more people will get on the mission field from Worth Baptist Church than have ever been in the history of our church. Another thing that we're excited about is for ascending. It's something that was on Dr. Weaver's heart for years, and it's been on my heart. And that's the building of some missions houses on our property. As far as I know, there is no independent Baptist church in our area with any kind of housing for missionaries. I believe it would greatly encourage missionaries if they had a free, clean, comfortable, modern place to stay for a night or two as they ministered in our areas. I wish we could take every worthy missionary on for support. But if we can't do that, at least we could give them a nice place to stay. It's also my vision to see young men from Bible colleges all over America come to Fort Worth during their summers. They'll help us knock on doors and take part in Vacation Bible School and youth and teen camp. While they're here, we'll invest in their lives and give them experience serving in a local church and even give them an offering to pay for their tuition for the next year. I want to encourage young men that have given their lives to serve Christ in vocational service. And if we're going to do that, if we're going to impact the next generation of Christian leaders, they're going to need a safe and comfortable place to stay. Now, folks, I believe this with all my heart. Buildings don't change lives. But what happens in those buildings does change lives. And I'd like to be a part of encouraging missionaries and investing in the next generation of preachers. And I hope you'll pray with me and pray with our deacons as we seek God's face on the timing of this important matter next year. I believe by God's grace, this year at Worth Baptist Church, we are going to reach, we are going to grow, and we are going to send like we never have before. As I look back on my first year as being a pastor, I believe 2016 was a historic and banner year in the history of Worth Baptist Church. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that there were 225 people added to our church last year. I'm glad there were 200 people involved in some kind of outreach. I'm glad for the over 200 that came to faith in Christ and over 70 that were baptized. I'm glad to be part of a church that's still proclaiming God's word boldly 3 times a week. I'm grateful that in a day when so many churches are drifting and retreating, that Worth Baptist Church, by God's grace, is advancing. But listen to me. Either 2016 can be the greatest year of my pastorate, and it can be the greatest growth that we experience. It can be the fact that our best days are behind us, or 2016 can be just the beginning and just the springboard for God's blessing on this church in the years to come. And that's what I would like to see. How about you? Let me remind you tonight, we have been promised resurrection power. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Hudson Taylor said, "God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply." And I believe that. We've not only been promised resurrection power, we've been promised a reassuring presence. Because Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth." And I don't know about you tonight, but I could start any ministry, pay any price, face any challenges, endure any trial if I knew that Jesus was with me while I was doing it. We've been promised resurrection power. We've been promised a reassuring presence. So let us live this year with a relentless passion for God's purpose in this world. Let's glorify God by making disciples in Fort Worth, the Metroplex, and around the world for His global glory. Let's reach. Let's grow. Let's send. Let's pray. Father, I am so excited about the vision that you've given us from your word and about the potential of what could happen at Worth Baptist Church in 2017. I believe we are on the very verge of multiplication if your people will take the challenge tonight to make disciples. Father, help every member of Worth Baptist Church to be wholeheartedly involved in what you're doing in this world through our church right here in Fort Worth, Texas. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just have one question for you tonight. Are you all in? Are you all in? This is the biblical vision. Are you all in? Maybe you're here tonight, you say, Pastor Jill, I can possibly do everything you talked about. Nobody could do everything I talked about. I can't do everything, but by God's grace, I can do something. I'd like to be part of a movement of disciple makers. How about you? So how many of you would raise your hand tonight and say, I'm all in. I can't do everything, but I'm going to do something by God's grace. I'm going to make disciples in 2017. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Well, that's many of you. If every person that just raised their hand would really be all in, this would be the greatest year that Worth Baptist Church ever had. So here in just a moment, we're going to stand to our feet. You've just raised your hand and made a commitment to the Lord, and I'm going to ask you to seal that commitment by coming forward tonight, humbling yourself before the Lord, and saying, God, with your help, I'm going to be part of a movement of disciple makers right here at Worth Baptist Church. Brother Johnson's going to lead us in a verse. Let's stand to our feet. God's speaking tonight. You come and be part of it. You come and say, I'm all in. I'm looking forward to what God's doing. I bought the vision, and I'm going to participate and be wholeheartedly involved.